And good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, November the 15th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 5, page 68, and How It Works, starting with the third paragraph, beginning with, "We never apologize to anyone." And we'll be reading this one paragraph only, ending in, "At once we commence to outgrow fear." And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Gracie D. for the 12 Steps, Des M. for the 12 Traditions. Reader of our text this morning is going to be, drumroll please, Jordan L., and Julie E.B. is going to read page 164. And Jordan L. is also our backup as well. She's multitasking this morning. And our newcomer reader today is Janice P.M. and Reggie O. And Lynn S. is recording for us this morning. Thank you all for your service. So the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, November the 14th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,663. That's 13663. And the share ID for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting this morning, November the 15th, is 13,667. That's 13667. The OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Mm-hmm. And I will now ask Grace D. to please read our 12 steps. Grace? Gracie?
Star 110,
please.
All righty, Gracie D., compulsive overeater, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
And thank you, Gracie D. And now Des M. will read our 12 traditions. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, Sherry. Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, and these are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Des M., for your service this morning. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive readers only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that includes your mute button on your phone, so please only use the star 1 feature, star 1 to mute and unmute. We'd appreciate it. That way we have a nice quiet evening, meeting. Thanks. All right. So today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 68, the third paragraph, and that is starting with, "We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator," and we're going to read that one paragraph only. And so would Jordan now please get us, please read. Jordan? Jordan, you there?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thanks, Jordan.
Good morning, guys. My name's Jordan now. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado this morning. But shout out to all my homies in New York or Newark. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. So, we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality is the way of weakness. Paradoxically, it is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. They never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. So this is, oh, there's somebody unmuted, like coughing and stuff. I hope you feel okay. So this is our prayer for fear here, right? It's our fourth column in the fear inventory, my sort of action, if you will, to help me outgrow fear. So fear is a tricky one, right? Because when I remember doing my very first four step 10 years ago. And I didn't get it. I didn't get fear. I didn't get that it was that story that I was making up in my head that may or may not be true, may or may not be valid based on other players in the game, if you will. I didn't really understand that it might not necessarily be the truth, because it felt so very true. So I like that the way that this prayer is organized is not so much about whether or not it's true, whether or not the fear is fancied or real. At this point, we kind of set that aside, and we ask our Creator to direct our attention to what he or she or it or whatever you want to say would have us be, right? It sort of puts it back on me. It puts the accountability back on me, the responsibility back on me. and it's up to me to navigate through the situation while depending upon my Creator, you know? That's the thing about this program. Paradoxically, I appear to the outside world to be more self-reliant than I ever have, paradoxically, because I am setting aside self-reliance and depending upon my Creator instead. So anyway, that's all I got to share in this paragraph this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Jordanelle. Thank you for getting us started. And who would like to share on this wonderful paragraph? We're on page 68, the third paragraph. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator, and we're going to comment on that one paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Michelle.
Gotcha, Michelle. Michelle, what's the initial of your last name?
J, like jewelry.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you, Michelle.
Charles H.
I heard Rebecca Charles D. H, and somebody came right.
Jen
after Charles.
Z.
Patty D.
Okay, I heard a Patty. Did I hear Patty? What's
Deborah
the first
E.
initial of your last name?
D, as in David.
Thank you. And did I hear a Janice or a Janet?
Jen Z.
Jen Z. Okay, thank you, Jen Z. And I heard a man's voice.
I hope that was mine, Barbara E.
I thought I heard a man's voice, and it's still possible, but I'll take you, Barbara E. And one more, please.
Okay.
Eileen M.
Eileen M. Yay. Got our lineup right now. And I'll take you. I think I heard Jordan. No, I didn't hear that. All right. So we've got Michelle J., Charles H., Patty D., Jen Z., Barbara E., and Eileen M. Michelle J., for jewelry, please. Would you share with us this morning, and Charles H. will follow you. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Hey, y'all. I'm jealous. I wish I was in Newark, but that's okay. Hey, I'm Michelle J. from Arkansas, and just grateful to have you all on the line with me and to be part of this wonderful, wonderful recovery program. So here we go. I'm going to put you on. Oh, hold on. So what I want to say is, you know, when someone asks me where my help comes from, where my power comes from, where my hope comes from, how I've gotten recovery, I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say, it's not me. I didn't do it on my own. I get to say, I have a higher power, and he has done it for me. And God, for me, is, I don't want to say proud, because I'm not proud. I'm just happy. And I can hand my recovery over to others and testify that it wasn't me. It wasn't a diet. It wasn't my willpower and my strength. And then as I'm working with others as a sponsor to a sponsee, I don't have to also carry that person. I don't fix this person. I don't change this person. I don't help them to recover. I lead them and guide them to their higher power, to God, to their God of their understanding, so that they too can release all that to a higher power. And I'm not ashamed or embarrassed. And it's very helpful to me to rest in the arms of God. And with that, I'll pass.
Michelle, Michelle J. Charles H., good morning. You're up, followed by Patty D. Good morning, Charles.
Thank you, Sherry KB, for your trusted service. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. So I can recall, like, you know, where I live, you know, I hear people saying, I ain't never scared, and just saying that. Like, but they put some ghetto on it. I ain't never scared. That is such the biggest lie that, you know, in coming to study this text in particular, it's the biggest lie. Because if I have to mention that, that's like mentioning, oh, I'm so humble. If I got to mention that I'm so humble, maybe I'm not that humble. Right? You know, if I got to tell a bunch of people and scream loud that I ain't never scared, it's the biggest lie in the world. Let me tell you, today I move by strategy and I don't move by emotion, because, you know, it tells me on page 86 or 87, we don't get too excited, we don't tire easily. You know, I go to a lot of conventions, and, you know, it's good to take a nap because you're going to be overwhelmed. I don't know what you're scared of. We're all human beings. Ain't nobody got green blood. We're all people. And it's going to be an amazing time. The greatest times are going to be when you meet people and talk to people and find out. I don't want to hear nothing about vision. I want to know about you. I want to know what your favorite baseball team is. I want to know what makes you tick. I want to know what you eat. Maybe I might learn something from you. Maybe I might teach you something. Maybe you might teach me something. You know, and here's the fair prayer. You know, people talk all day, but they don't use this program. At once, we outgrow fear. And then the next day, we grow it again. And then we outgrow it again. So it's a great idea to practice this spiritual program of action. Because I know I need to discover, uncover, and discard self-centered fear. Fear is under everything. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles H. And Patty D., you're up, followed by Jen Z. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. Thanks for your service. Hi, this is Patty D., I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. I wanted to share very similarly to what the first speaker shared.
Patty, we can't hear you. We lost you. Patty D? Star 1 to unmute, please. Patty?
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. Did you hear me introduce myself? Can I be heard?
Are you there, Patty?
Oh.
We can hear you. Go ahead. You're kind of going in and out on us, but go ahead, please, Patty. Are you there? Okay, Patty, maybe you'll come back in. Jen Z, you're up, followed by Barbara E. Good morning, Jen Z. Jen Z, star 1 to unmute, please. Can anybody hear me?
Good morning. This is Jen Z from Kentucky.
Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. I just wanted to share on just the first few sentences of the paragraph. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. And then it says, paradoxically, it's the way of strength. And that word paradoxically really rung true for me today, because when I really sit and meditate how this whole thing worked, it just blows my mind. I never would have thought that stopping the fight and stop relying on myself would actually get me where I am after 30 years of fighting in this disease. I never thought that calling 3 strangers a day and talking to you guys every morning or hearing you guys every morning would ever get me to where I wanted to be for 30 years. I never thought that to the level at which I surrender, that's where my strength and recovery comes from. To the level at which I surrender to my higher power and stop fighting, that's how strong I am. it's so counterintuitive. I never would have figured it out, which makes me really appreciate the big book even more. And that's all I wanted to share. I appreciate that, and I pass.
Thank you, Jen Z. And Patty D., did you come back yet? Are you there, Patty? Okay.
Yes, well, I'm here.
Are you there? Okay, go
yes,
ahead,
I
please.
Am. I'm
all
so
right.
Sorry. I was having
no
trouble
problem.
With my headset. Okay,
go
this
ahead,
is Patty D. I'm Patty D., recovered compulsive overeater in Matthews, North Carolina. I just wanted to share what the first speaker actually was saying as well, that I'm about 10 pounds from my healthy goal weight and seeing people that I haven't seen in quite a while. And they always say to me, oh, how did you do it? What diet are you following? And I always say to them, oh, it's not me, it's God. You know, God is helping me do this. Especially if I tell them the alcoholic foods I'm avoiding. Like, oh, I could never do that. And I said, well, I can't either. It's God. God is doing it. And they, you know, a lot of people just kind of shrug it off because I think they do think, well, you know, that's weird. But we know in this program it's true. And the other thing I just wanted to share was in this paragraph where it says we ask God to direct us to who he wants us to be. Sometimes I struggle with that because I'm a doer and I want to know what he wants me to do. But really, it's what he wants me to be, who he wants me to be. And sometimes that's he wants me to be content or he wants me to be patient. And those things are what really remove my fear and not doing. So that's all I had for today. And thank you so much for coming back to me and allowing me to share.
Well, thank you, Patty D. And Barbara E., you're up, followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Eileen. I do hope I can be heard.
You can.
I know there's been some trouble. When I speak to someone, when someone says, how did you get so thin? I never lead off with my big finish, the finale, God. Because if I start with God, they roll their eyes. They back away from me. That's the end of it. I tell them simply what I've done, that I've got some tools that I use. I read a book that I use. I work with other people with the same compulsions to compulsively overeat as I do. And if they're interested, then I slowly segue into the most important element, our reliance, or at least my reliance on God. And I have to say the example of the fear prayer every single day. God, thank you for helping me be honest enough to see this truth about myself. And now that you have shown me the truth about my fears, please remove these fears from me, because I do have fears. And some of the fears I can take care of. As I said before, if a car is speeding in the wrong direction down the highway, I can take evasive action. I can pray that I don't get killed, but I have to do the footwork with the pedal. But with so many things that go on with life, getting older, injuries, all kinds of different things that we did not expect to happen, I have to rely on my presence of God to know that he is there with me every single bit of the way. And if I rush to him, not falling, mind you, he'll rush to me. And no matter how good I am today, he always sees that I can be better. And that's what I look for, to improve my experience with God every single day, and to offer assistance to any and all compulsive overeaters that are out there and still struggling, because this is a killing disease. I think Leia said it's like being kicked in the belly by a bunny rabbit. It hurts. It hurts. So if you're out there and you need a call, you need some experience, strength, and hope, anything at all, I'm leaving the rehab today. I'll be home in my own environment tomorrow. My name is Barbara E., and I wish you a blessed weekend. And for those of you in Newark, yippee, yippee, yippee. You're going to love it. Thank you. I pass.
Barbara E., and before we hear from Eileen M., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 68, the third paragraph, and we're commenting on that one paragraph. Good morning, Eileen. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service. This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, and I'm so grateful to be on this line today. And I love this paragraph because it tells us exactly what to do with fear. And the word courage means it's the ability to do something that I'm afraid to do. And, you know, I'm powerless over my fear. And I've noticed that much of my fear really is ego-driven. And when I get into a fearful place, it turns into an obsession. And it actually paralyzes me. And I'm not really able to get anything done. It's like I can't go forward. And really, all I need to do when I get in that place is to ask my higher power for help and guidance. And to ask, you know, I love this, ask him what he would have us be. And for me, you know, part of that is that once I ask for help is not to struggle. You know, I can relax and stop struggling. And just to believe that help is on the way. I've asked for help. It's on the way. And, you know, I pray for courage to walk through whatever it is and to just remember that I'm not alone. I have a higher power with me, walking with me. And that's very comforting. And I also wish everyone a really wonderful time this weekend. And, yeah, so thank you so much.
Thank you, Eileen M. And who else would like to share on the page 68, the third paragraph? Who would like to share?
Sarit L.
I'm sorry, somebody L?
I said Andy.
Sarit L.
Okay, two people are coming at once. I think I heard an and B and then something L.
Sarit
L. Olivia
V. Sarit L.
Yeah.
Okay, did I hear Olivia?
Sivia.
Vivia?
Sivia with an S. S-I-V-I-A.
Sivia.
Yeah, V-G.
Okay. Sivia.
Des M.
Meryl
M. All right. I have room for two more.
Marilyn T.
Pam Q.
Marilyn T. And who else was that?
Pam Q.
Pam Q. All right. And if we have room for more, we will. But right now we have Ann B., Sarit L., Siva G., Des M., Marilyn T., and Pam Q. Ann B., please go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, this is Ann B., compulsive overeater. I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 15 years. And one of the things I found about this paragraph, fear, you know, on the one hand, I have had a lot of fear removed. I noticed when I first lost the weight, and I lost about 45 pounds, and I went hiking, that I could hike in much steeper places and at the edges of cliffs and not feel the fear that I used to feel as much. But that, and that, you know, that has its advantages and disadvantages because as I get older, maybe my balance isn't that good and maybe I do need to be cautious in those places. And I do scare other people because they think I'm going to fall. But there are other areas where the fear keeps coming back. You know, in particular with respect to my health, I'm a cancer survivor, I'm in remission, recurrence is expected. With respect to my children who are mentally ill and you know, failure to launch young adults. And that's where this whole step 10 business keeps coming in. I have to keep re-inventorying it and praying to have it removed and talking to someone about it and re-inventorying and pray to have it removed and talk to somebody about it and keep doing that. And I feel it's sort of like, ocean waves hitting a cliff. You know, one wave won't wear the cliff down, but over time, as you keep hitting the wave against the cliff, it does. And certainly, I'm not at all the same person I used to be. I emotionally don't recognize myself at all in terms of having pursuing things that used to terrify me, and being more present in the world, and having more friends, and making more eye contact, and all these things that have improved dramatically because of this program. And people have noticed it. You know, people have said to me that my personality has changed dramatically. But, you know, the fear is never completely gone. And sometimes I feel guilty about that. Oh, no, I still have fear. I'm bad. No, see, that's part of the powerlessness. I'm never going to be Buddha. I'm never going to be completely serene, and I'm powerless over these character defects. The only thing that I can do is, you see, nature, the only form of permanence in nature is repetition. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Ann B. And Sarit L., you're followed by Sivia G. Sarit, good morning.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. There's so much to share about with fear here, so much, because really it is the corroding thread. And every paragraph has such gems in it. You know, fear ought to be classed with stealing. But let's focus on this one, paradoxically. I could just spend an entire day on this word paradoxically, because I've realized that in working the steps, the turnarounds have been so revealing, the 10-step turnaround. So a lot of what I've been uncovering in these rooms have been paradoxical. What I'm learning is that, you know, in my dishonesty, is that externals are not what give me value. People don't give me value. So my fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of not being good enough, fear of other people's opinions of me, those are all because I'm trusting and relying on people and others to give me that. And really what I'm learning is that all my dishonesties are exactly that, they're lies. And yet I've grown up with a belief system, that's completely coming into these rooms. I'm learning I have to get crushed, and it's just a paradoxical. It is. I look at externals to give other people value, and I give a value to other people based on their externals that they have. And paradoxically, it is what's inside of me that's going to give me value, and that's what gives everyone else value. And, you know, the dishonesty that thin equals happy, or, you know, thin does not equal happy. Paradoxically, it is a recovery that equals happiness for me, living a life in these rooms that equals happiness for me. And again, here it's faith. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. And so trusting in God is exactly the opposite of self-reliance, which I've, you know, been growing up my whole life and trying to put more self-reliance to get something done or to get an outcome, and have been complimented by that. So even society believes that, you know, society doesn't just believe that thin equals happiness, or that being super skinny is the best thing. But society also believes that the more you do, the more you accomplish, the better you are, the more value you have, the more respect you should get. And so all these paradoxicals have just, they're dishonesties for me that have had to go. And in working these 12 steps have slowly, you know, God is slowly removing them in his time. Someone mentioned this morning at the earlier meeting that, you know, I expected when I did the 10 steps that they should be removed right away. And that's my expectation, but it's in God's time, and I have to surrender and be patient to when God's will is also a matter of when for me. It's not in my time. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Sarit L. And Sivia G., you're up, followed by Des M. Good morning, Sivia. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Sorry about that. I forgot to unmute. I was talking to myself. It is Sivia VG. V as in Victory, G as in George. So what I wanted to say was, first of all, thank you everybody for being here. I'm grateful to be a part of this meeting. Regarding the fear, you know, he can do what we ask him to remove our we ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. And at once we commence to outgrow fear. And, you know, there's this thing that I've been reading about. I think it's more and more coming into the forefront, called the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And the imposter syndrome is thinking that, oh, we're really not very good. They're, you know, they've hired us because we are a woman, or because I'm African-American, or because I'm Asian, or because I'm gay or whatever, and that we never think we're good enough. And what I have been learning in this program is I am good enough. I have enough. And I've been hired to do my job on the basis of the fact that I do a good job. And to when meditating, I do repeatedly say, I am good enough, I have enough. And when I make a mistake, or someone points out to me that I've made a mistake, it's like, oh my God, they are seeing my imperfection, and I'm supposed to be perfect. So there's this, no, you're not supposed to be perfect. Only God is perfect. You're supposed to be good enough. And so for me, it's when somebody says, like happened yesterday at work, you did X and you shouldn't do X. It's like, oh geez, now I'm not perfect, and they're seeing all my faults, they're seeing all my defects, they're seeing, you know, and here I was pretending to be perfect and wonderful, and it makes it very difficult for me to accept the change that my higher power is showing me that I need to make. And so for me, to remember that I am good enough and I have enough is the key to removing my fear of not being good enough and not having enough, which is, again, that paradox. Thank you very much, everybody, and hello to everybody. I wish I was with you in Newark. Next year, maybe in the Midwest.
Thanks, Sivyaji. Des M., you're up, followed by Marilyn T. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, Sherry. Thanks so much. This is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, and I'm just grateful to be able to be on the line, be in the realm of courage and faith. And I had to share on this line, you know, this fear prayer has like totally just changed my relationship with my higher power. And it's just consistently developing and like peeling back the onions, the layers of the onions, many onions. You know, when I do my fear inventories, something creeps up, like what a gift that I've gotten to, you know, work these steps, like uncover, discover, discard. And like, you know, that blockage is like way less there. So when it comes up, I just get to go to my higher power, and ask my higher power what my higher power would have me be. And I consistently, you know, hear like, Desi, trust, like, trust, like, I am the light. It's never really wordy. It's never a list of things to do. It's, I know what to do in my soul. This is what we do. And I don't know, what's coming on my heart right now is just how linear our program is. We have to do 1 through 12, and then it's so cyclical. It's 10 through 12, 10 through 12, 10 through 12. And I get to, you know, just say this prayer and listen, and then I get to hear just always the solution is trust. And usually it's you know, my fear creates another solution, and then sometimes I stay in that solution, I'm refueling it, getting it maybe into a resentment, and then I always have this option, you know. And I'm reminded by my fellows that I always have this option. My higher power is always there to let me know what higher power would have me be, and it would just be, you know, trusting in the days that I don't have plans. You know, I never know, but I, my ego really likes a semblance of control in days that I think I know how they're going to go. So right now I'm just going to you know, God, please remove my fear of the unknown just for today and direct my attention to what my higher power would have me be. And my higher power would just have me be continuing to show up in faith and courage and just express my gratitude to all of you and in this unknown journey that is way better than the known of where the food gets me and the fear. Thanks for letting me share. Have a beautiful day and enjoy Newark, people.
Thank you, Desm. Marilyn T., you're up, followed by Pam Q. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning, Sherry. And we are in a different time zone now, for once, you and I. Thank you for letting me share. This is Marilyn T., grateful, compulsive overeater, now today in Newark, New Jersey. What I'd like to talk about is towards the end of the paragraph, which says that instead we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be at once we commence to outgrow fear. That to me is the biggest promise right there, at once we commence to outgrow fear. I turned always the way I was raised. You didn't really show fear. I mean, showing fear was like you get your neck torn out, you know, and you laugh at that, but it was very true. So you showed anger, and anger was the cover for fear. What's nice is what I get in this program, what I've learned in this program, is that I have to surrender and let God show me all these layers of myself and how he can make my life better if I surrender totally to him. So I'm just thankful to be here, very blessed to be here, very thankful that I have the sponsor I do, thankful that I'm with and rooming with the people I'm rooming with. They're a blast. Having a lovely time here. They're laughing now. All right. Thank you. Glad to be here. I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn. And Pam Q, you're up. You're the last one, but we might have room for more. So get ready to after Pam Q. Pam, good morning. Star one to unmute, Pam. Pam Q?
Good morning. This is Pam Q, compulsive overeater from New York. Thank you, everyone, for your service. I'll be in Newark in a few hours. Very excited about it. Yes, we ask our higher power to remove our fear and direct our attention to what our higher power would have us be. I love this prayer. I had a lot of fear about the idea of coming to the convention, and it actually let my fear rule and decided I wasn't coming and had not registered. And then the deadline got extended. And so I got a chance to look at that fear and feel it some more and realized I didn't want to miss out and I wanted to be with everyone. And so I'm coming. And once I took the action and registered, a lot of that fear went away. Taking action can help with my fear. So I'm just really grateful for our meeting and for my fellows, and I think with that I'll pass. Thank you.
Pam Q, and we have room for two more people, about 2.5 minutes here. Who would like to jump in?
Evan B.
Evan B. Okay, got you, Evan, and one more person. Who would like to share this morning?
Nadia B.
Nadia B. Gotcha. We got the B's going here. Okay, Evan, please, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Evan B. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. I really relate to this reading today, and, I'm the most self-reliant person, and I used to kind of think that, or maybe I still do think, that, you know, displaying insecurity means that you're humble. Or saying that you're not good enough means you're humble, or having imposter syndrome means that you're truly humble. But now I'm kind of realizing that's kind of another form of control, and me trying to control my own judgment of myself, and not leaving that up to somebody else. And it's not going to be until I completely let go and let only God judge me that I can really be free, because I can be a hazard to myself in terms of my judgment, and that can be toxic. You know, I'm currently definitely still struggling with abstinence. Yesterday I had a a great day of abstinence for the first time in like 4 days. And it was because I talked to a fellow on a car ride home in the morning, but, you know, it's all fear of not being enough. It sounds about right. And it's not really my decision, is what I'm trying to glean from the reading here today. It's not really my decision about if I'm enough or not, because it's not up to me. It's just me trying to control. So if I can just let go completely, I can experience some relief and some freedom. And then I'd be even more than enough, paradoxically. The second I stop trying to be enough, all of a sudden, I'm enough. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Nadia B., you're up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut today. Really grateful for the process. We're in step four here. I am currently also going through the process again, with a fine comb.
Nadia, I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's somebody, sounds like they're doing dishes in the background. Could you please mute yourself? We'd really appreciate it, to have a quiet meeting. Sorry, Nadia, for the interruption. Go ahead, please.
And so, you know, it says, at once we commence to outgrow fear. That is, we talked about it today. What is commence? I googled the word commence. English is not my first language. So if we start, we begin at once. This is a promise to me. At once, if I'm going through this process, putting all my heart into it, at once I begin to outgrow all this fear that I have. You know, my life was ran by fear. I was so scared. I was so ashamed of this disease I had. I was ashamed that I needed God. I needed to look for God. I looked at other people and they seemed so put together, and I needed 12 steps to connect me to something. I didn't even know what it was. I was terrified. I was terrified to eat differently. I was terrified to meet you people, to admit that I needed you. And today I don't. I don't because of this process that, that taught me how to not apologize for God. And I'm still, I'm still in this process constantly learning how to conduct myself in the world, how to communicate with you people so I can demonstrate, so God can demonstrate through me, so God can shine the light through me and show me and everybody else what this program can do, what this program can do, miraculous things. Things that I never thought were possible. And that's what happens when you courageously, because it takes a strong personality to go and look at yourself the way, truthfully look at yourself, to be honest with yourself, the way that I couldn't even possibly think I couldn't think it was possible. To look at yourself, because I was terrified to look. What is it that I'm so afraid within? And today I don't have to live it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to jump in and close us out this morning? Star 1 to unmute, please. Anyone would like to jump in?
This is Stacy B.
Go ahead, Stacy.
I'm really impressed with this paragraph, and it reminds me that I just need God's love to, when I get in this fearful situations, or fearful thought thinking, which is 24/7 for me, I just need to know that God loves me and God's right by me, and whatever it is, we're going to get through it. So I just need to remind myself of that. And as I was listening to all the people that went before me of how beautifully they work the program, and for me, I need to put that effort in. And when I get fearful, I just remind myself, God loves all of us like treasure, we're his joy, we're his treasure. And so he's going to be there with us no matter what. And so that's probably going to give me the courage to move on and move forward in this program. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Stacey B. Well, that's all the time we have for sharing this morning. What a great meeting. So glad you're all here who's participated and listened. Thank you for your service. And so with that being said, I want to thank Team Friday, Gracie D., Des M., Darian K., Julie E. B., Jordan L., Janice P. M., Reggie O., and Lynn S. for recording. All right. So would Julie E. B. please read page 164? We're going to be closing now with Please Read a Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, usually in Colorado Springs, today in New York City, heading for Newark. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be safely with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.